Tefanot. Let's give a short summary of what we saw. Let's go back to the beginning of Perek Aleph. We saw Perek Aleph, Pasuk Bet, Havel, Havelim, Amar, Kohelet, Havel, Havelim, Akol, Havel. Everything amounts to nothing. Pasuk Gimel, Ma, Yitron, Adam, Achol, Maloshi, Amol, Tachat Hashem. Why does everything amount to nothing? Because there's no Yitron. We have nothing to show for at the end. Everything's cyclical. Nothing's really new. We don't accomplish anything. We saw the second part of Perek Aleph, which begins in Pasuk Yud Bet, where he introduces himself personally. He introduced the three phenomena that he's going to be reflecting on. We saw first in Pasuk Yud Gimel the reflection on Ma'asim, right? The things men do, we don't really change the things we hope to change. Second of all, Pasuk Tet Zayin, he talked about Chochma. We don't really develop ourselves the way in a positive way. And number three, he talked about Hana'ah, what is pleasure worth? It doesn't amount to anything. In Perek Bet, he described his laboratory conditions and the frustration that he yielded. We saw Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel was the first full-blown philosophy. It began with the song of the times. Is the time for this, 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 time for this. And the point of that time for, we saw in Pasuk Tet, Perek Gimel Pasuk Tet, Ma Yitron Hoseba Asher Omel. If everything's set and there's a time for anything anyway, so what difference does it make what I do? The world is set. We're not meant to change it. We're supposed to sit back and enjoy. We shouldn't try and fix the world's problems. That's God's business, right? And we talked about this being like hedonism, religious hedonism, godly hedonism. God is setting it in motion, not, godless hedonism. Okay. We saw last time Perek Dalet. In Perek Dalet, the response to the philosophy of Perek Gimel was... A few responses, but the first response was Perek Dalet. We see those who are oppressed, and particularly, what about the oppressed people in Pasuk Aleph bothers us?
No one helps them.
Ein lehem menachem. Nobody cares. Not just nobody helps. Nobody cares. Why does nobody care?
Because we can't help.
Because we're not supposed to. Right? Perek Gimel, right? It's time for everything. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to enjoy. Da 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 da. So the world can be miserable for a lot of people. Then we saw, starting in Pasuk Dalet, a second problem with this philosophy. Kinat ish merayehu. People are jealous of one another. 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 They can't be happy. Again, if we measure success in this world by what a person gets for themselves, there's always going to be someone who has more than you, and then people are frustrated. And the third problem, Pasuk Chet, he introduces it in Pasuk Zayin, V'shafte eni ve'erehev al tachat ha-shamesh, is the loneliness. You have no son, you have no brother, you have no relatives, you have no one. Why? Because there's no reason anyone should feel for anybody else if in the end it's about what I enjoy and what I gain in this world. Have people remember this? No, yeah? Okay. So now I think we began talking about what the solution is. What solution does he recommend starting in Pasuk Tet? What we call today socialism, but a sense of being part of something bigger, a sense of mattering because of the bigger thing we are part of. Pasuk Tet. Tovim hashnayim min ha'echad asher yesh lehem sachar tov ba'amalam. Two are better than one because they have a true good reward for their efforts. Ki im yipolu, if the two fall, ha'echad yakim et chaviro. One of them can help the other up. Ve'ilu ha'echad sheyipol, if one person falls, ein sheni lahakimo. There's no second to help him up. Gam yimish kibushna. Let's say the two people fall and they can't get up. V'cham lahem. At least they can console each other. They can be there for each other. Ule'echad ech yecham. But for the one, who's there to warm him? V'im yitkifo ha'echad. If one is attacked, first we have somebody falls. Second helps him up. The two people fall. They're there with each other. One is attacked. Hashnayim yamdu negdo. Two people stand up to defend him. V'achuta mishulash lo b'meray yinatek. There's a very famous pasuk about the three-spun thread, how strong it is, doesn't quickly tear. It's usually Avim, Yitzchak, Yaakov, but it's interesting to see the context here. The way we reinforce each other, the way we're intertwined with each other, this sense of strength. And I mentioned that it's not coincidental that most of the thinking world in the 20th century, the beginning of the 20th century, was communist or socialist. And most Jews... their sympathies were with socialism, aligned with socialism. Most of the world, as I said. And communism has given socialism a bad name. Communism is a particular way of applying it. But the theory itself, very understandable. And I think I mentioned Rav Kook in England in the beginning of the 20th century. Did I mention that? You'd remember Ben, wouldn't you? I did, yeah. seeing what capitalism had led to, the extremes of capitalism. Okay, any questions about what's being presented? And I think we read this from last time, in contrast to what was presented at the beginning of Perek Dalet. Okay, did we get to the story? I think we did. We started talking about it. After he presents these psukim about this alternative, Tet, Yud, Yud Aleph, Yud Bet, in psukim Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, and Tet Vav, Tet Zayin, he tells a story. And the question is, what is he talking about, and what's the point of this story? But first, let's see the story. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Tov Yeled Miskein V'Chacham, Mi Melech Zakein Uchsil Asher Lo Yadal Yizaher Od. He's contrasting here between a Yeled, who's miskeim, like he's down in his luck, right? He's down, but he's chacham. It's better than the old foolish king who doesn't know how to protect himself anymore. Tov yelid miskeim chacham, mi melech zakein uchsila shelo yadali zeher od. Ki, mi beit hasurim yatzan emloch, out of jail, the yelid comes out to rule, gam b'malchoton olam hashem, even though he's born into his kingship in a poor state. We're talking about a kid, comes out of jail, takes over for the king, right? Who doesn't know how to be careful anymore. Now he says, "Pasuk Tetvav." Ra'iti et kol ha'chayim ha'mehalchim tachat ha'shemesh im ha'yelad ha'shini asher emot tachtav. I see what's going to happen with this new kid. Ein keitz l'chol ha'am, chol asher ya lefnehem, gam ha'achunim lo yismachu bo, ki gam zehev v'rayon ruach. What does he say about what will happen with the new kid on the block? Is it going to be good? People aren't going to be happy with him either. Now it's clear he's talking about something very definitive, right? He's not talking like in what's he talking about? Everyone understands. First, you understand literally the translation, right? Now the question: what does he mean? What's he talking about? Anyone?
Evolution?
Revolution. Okay, well, that's true. That's true, but what's the... Yes, he's talking about a king, he's talking about a kid, but what's the...
Dictatorship?
No, I think, by the way, he's talking about something very specific. I think you hear it in his details. Well, I'm sorry? And most importantly, how does it connect to what he's talking about? Right? You understand what I mean? How does it connect to what he's talking about?
He's talking about another governmental model.
How does it connect to what came before?
Because he's been discussing different economic systems.
I understand, but how does it relate to what came? Not just another, is it not a new thing? He doesn't relate to what he just said, he's moving on to a new thing? You understand my point?
That people will never be satisfied.
That is definitely something, a point he's making, but how does it fit in? You understand my point?
He's been saying that once in a while.
How does it relate? He just presented an alternative philosophy, right? We called it socialism, okay?
Sounds like democracy, but people always complaining about it.
His point is people always complain about socialism?
No, democracy.
People always complain about democracy? How does it relate to what he's saying?
Because he's presenting different types of governments.
I've lost you. He presented socialism. Okay. What is his comment about socialism?
That it's good.
How does this say that it's good?
It could be something else.
I'm not following. I think he's talking about something that he sees very specifically. And you can understand it well if you understand the history of his time. Who took over Shlomo's kingdom after Shlomo died?
Rechavam Yerobam.
What's interesting is that Rechavam was his son who took over. But 90% of it was taken over by Yerobam. Now, Yerobam, when this book is being written, where is he?
He's outside of Israel.
That's true.
Ganging up again, trying to dethrone Shlomo.
More details. Where is he?
Mitzrayim.
He's in Mitzrayim. Where in Mitzrayim? He's in jail. Says it in Tanakh, right? Sefer Melachim, he's in jail. Why was he in jail? Yerovam was a person in charge of Shlomo's work projects. He built, you know, his projects in Yerushalayim. He rebelled against Shlomo. What was his platform for rebelling against Shlomo?
That he was closing the walls, the breaches.
What's the problem? We're against closing the building walls?
When people were calling for the regal, they were going through there, so it was easier traffic to get in.
What's the problem? What was his complaint?
Being harder for Jews to come for the regal.
I don't think that's what it says in Tanakh, yeah? Said, you're taking too much money from the people. It's too much of a tax on the people. I think how much money had to be taken from the people to build the Beit Mikdash, to build up the city of Yerushalayim. It's too much, it's too heavy on the people. Now, in the old days when you rebelled against your boss, it was the king, you didn't start a new political party and run against him in the Knesset. Right? You either had your head chopped off, or if you managed to get out quicker than he could get your head off your shoulders, you escaped. He escaped to Egypt. Now, what did Shlomo say to Egypt? No, he said, arrest him and
kill him.
Kill him, give him to me to kill him. What did Egypt do?
didn't.
Why? Why did they put him in jail?
They wanted to help him.
I got to let him go free. That would be like an attack on Shlomo, right?
Then after Shlomo dies, they can take over.
After Shlomo dies, they can use Yeravam to
take over.
To destabilize Shlomo's empire, right? The best thing in the world is to send in a, you know, a dissident who's going to split the kingdom and cause tumult, right? Perfect, right? He's a get-out-of-jail-free card. Shlomo, smartest guy who ever lived. You think he saw it coming? You think he saw that Rehavam was no rocket scientist? Tov yeled miskein v'chacham mimelech zachein v'ksila shelo yedal yizayarod. Because the Yalei Chacham comes out of jail and becomes the ruler. Now the platform Yeravam used to become the ruler was socialism. Basically, what was his platform? How was he so successful? He said, I'm for the people. What was the petition they gave to Rehavam?
Lower taxes.
Lower taxes. Right? What's Rehavam saying? I'm here to help you, right? How do you sweep 10.5 shvatim away?
Socialism.
I'm for the people, Avida, right? Tremendous. What's Shlomo's point about socialism? What comes next?
Still not.
I can see ahead of things where people aren't going to be happy. Why are people not happy? And by the way, the best proof of this is Africa, South America, and Asia. Less so Asia. I'll explain to you why. Every 5 minutes, there's another coup in one of these countries. What was the most recent coup? There was a coup. What? Is Venezuela, it's happening, going to happen?
They're in the middle of it.
They're in the middle of it. That's what I'm saying. They're finishing, starting, or in the middle of a coup. Now, who are they removing?
Leader?
Yeah. Well, listen. What's the platform for removing the leader? The platform is the people. And the people, the person they're removing, what was his platform?
People.
The people. Oh, what's Pshat? Now, you could be cynical. Okay? You could be, let's say you're from New York. You'll say the person who ran never meant to help the people anyway. And the new people running don't mean to help the people. Let's say you're not cynical, you could say. The people running to help the people really intended to help the people. They really did. But what happened? You know, you get into power, and you have your friend, and you have your cousin. You know. It just doesn't work out. Or you could even say that in the end, the attempt to build some kind of big system that's going to help everyone equally is unrealistic. We can give all the reasons as to why. It's a utopian vision. But it's unrealistic. What?
It is realistic.
You think it is realistic?
I mean, it has to be a very, very specific set of circumstances.
So that's the debate. The debate is, could it work if people were superhuman?
Like, if you were...
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The debate is, could it work if people were superhuman?
Or you had a society...
And it doesn't work because we are human? Or it couldn't work for superhumans? But there's no enough community. You know why? Because we're humans.
I mean, like,
you understand what I'm saying?
There are countries that have been doing it well.
Why did the kibbutzim fail?
What?
There are no countries that have been doing well. We'll get to that. Why did the kibbutzim fail? You know what I mean? The kibbutzim were the ideology of Israel. Why did they fail? Because people who could do better for themselves wanted to do better for themselves. In the end, people who they want to care for themselves. I care about other people, very nice. But my life comes first, canteen, right? Two people in the desert, one canteen, man. Judaism understands the reality of how people feel and how they're created to feel. Basically, what socialist systems end up degrading themselves to is two kinds of people. Those taking advantage of the system and those being taken advantage of. Or, you know, Barnum would say, the suckers. Now again, Zach, I'm not disagreeing with you. We could debate. Could it work if people really could be programmed that way? Interesting, right? And you can understand why people identify with it, because it's an idyllic vision, right? There's just one problem. It don't work. And by the way, it don't work. The main thing he's talking about is, you know, people aren't happy. And why aren't people happy? Because other people are taking advantage, or because if people don't have enough of a motivation to work, they're not going to work, right? And what's society going to be like? It'd be great if we could get everyone together. Everyone's going to work really hard, and we're going to have great results that everybody shares. But it doesn't work that way. If a person knows, no matter how hard I work, I'm not going to have anything anyway, so they'll stay home and eat popcorn. So again, this is very important, you know, understanding Kohelet. Kohelet is about helping us see what dreams amount to. Because very often we get caught into dreams. They sound great. You can make a great rally about it. You can write books. Everyone get really excited, right? But think about what it amounts to. Well, Kohelet is saying, I'm aware of this. I know. I see this socialism thing coming. But I also see where it's going to go. So the question, Zach, is the reason why the Soviet Union, China, and South Korea, and North Korea have all ended up where they ended up, is it coincidental, or maybe it has something to do with socialism? Questions. So then we move on to the next thing. How do you see the Pasuk Yud-Zayin in Perek Dalet as a new reflection? Or in other words, in what way is Pasuk Yud-Zayin and the ensuing Pasukim, by the way, totally different than everything we've seen in the book up to this point? Yes?
It's second person.
It's second person. Everyone understands what Ben is saying? Uncle Sam wants you. You guys understand that? Mm-hmm. Uncle Sam wants you. Who speaks in second person?
A leader.
A leader who sees himself as an authority. Or has a right or responsibility to be telling you things. A priest, a mashgiach, lahavdil, right? You have to do this. Someone speaking, you know, in an authoritative tone, which again we'd expect to be reflective of what he's saying, which is what we're going to see, but that's the first thing to notice. What is he saying in the first two psukim, Yud Zayin and Aleph, if you had to summarize? What, you know, summarize means the big picture. Perek Dal Pasuk Yud Zayin, Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph, which are connected. It's just bold Christians made a mistake. Yes?
Be careful.
Be careful, for sure. Everyone sees how it's be careful. Watch where you step. Don't be quick to speak. Where should the caution come from? What is he saying to be careful of?
Punching up your weight, trying to do more than you can.
Relative to?
God.
Shmor raglecha kasher telech el beit Elokim. Watch where you step when you walk into God's home. Bekarov lishmo, better to listen than to offer, because you don't know what you're doing. Pasuk Aleph, al tevehel al picha. Don't rush with your mouth. V'libcha al yimaher lehotzi davar lefnei Elokim. And your heart shouldn't be quick to express things before God. Ki Elokim ha-shamayim v'ata al ha-ratz ha-ken yu dvarecha me'atim. So the first thing, if you had to characterize who's speaking, what he's speaking about, what would you say?
The middleman between man and God.
What?
The middleman between man and God.
Where's the middleman here?
He's the one speaking.
Oh, you mean the one speaking, middleman. Okay, what's he saying? I don't mean what his position is. I mean, what is his philosophy?
That you're nothing compared to him.
That's for sure true. If you put it together with what Ben said, with the Pesukim talking about, I think what he's talking about is Yirat Elokim. I would call him a Yirei Elokim. Now, the reason I use the word Yira and not Ava is because he's talking about Yira. He's talking about understanding who you're in the presence of. Well, I'll give you an example. Imagine you were asked to serve tea to world leaders. Now, this is unfair, because world leaders today are people like Donald Trump.
The Queen.
There's not community between Donald Trump and the Queen is that the Queen is someone you might have some respect for, unless you read British newspapers. But I meant something else. I meant something else. You're right, that's one distinction. But another thing. Think of Putin. What I mean is, Putin can have your head taken off. Or can have you poisoned. Now, Putin will have to do it quietly and below the radar. Imagine 500 years ago. You're serving tea to Henry VIII, you know, Tsar Alexander, you know, people who, mamish like a king. There's a reason why Netan HaTokof was written by Rav Amnon Mimigenza, who understood what a king can do. Who understood what Yom HaDin is. The king decides, makes a bet with you, loses, decides to, he's angry about it, doesn't need to take you to court, doesn't need to bring in witnesses, doesn't need to get a hangman, it's just like, okay, chop his legs off. To understand that, right? If you were serving tea, would you come in there and say, hey, Henry VIII, watch me juggle your precious china? Oops, sorry, dropped that one. What would your goal be when you walk in there? Walk in there, try not to spill anything on anyone. Try not anyone to see who you are, know your name, and leave. That's your goal. To get out with as minimal problem. You start saying, no, I have a suggestion for how you should deal with Scotland. You can come with suggestions? What are you gonna do? You're in a place that's above your weight, right? Above your pay grade. You stand in the presence of God. Any of you ever been a tramp? When I say a tramp, I don't mean like someone who's a friend of yours gives you a ride. I mean some random dude stops their car and lets you in. Okay. Now when you sit in that tramp, what do you do when you get in the back? You start schmoozing? What do you do? What do you do when you sit there? What? What do you do when you sit into the tramp? When you get in, what do you do? What do you naturally do?
Awkward silence.
What?
Awkward silence.
You sit there quietly. Why? It's not your place. Do you start to say, hey, move the seat up? Let's say your leg is crushed behind the seat. What do you do? You sit with your leg crushed. Do you open the window? Do you tell the guy to change the radio station? Do you ask him to not, to lower the radio because you want to talk on your cell phone? These are things you don't do unless you're Israeli. If you're Israeli, not only do you lower the window without asking, you don't think of rolling it up afterwards, the person may come back, his car gets full of water because it rained. Problem, this is only theoretical, you know what I'm saying? But if you're a normal person, you get into someone else's car that you don't belong in, you understand? Imagine you get into God's car. Yirat Shamayim, Yirat Elokim on the most basic level means an understanding that you're in the presence of God, you're in God's world. You're before God. Now we walk around in general like we own the place, right? We're afraid of nobody. The Gemara says it's us that walk 4 amas become a skufa. Right? Why? Because you're in God's place. You know what I'm saying? How could you walk around that way? But when we forget that, that's when the problems start. There was a song when I was a kid called "The Eye in the Sky," Alan Parsons Project. He happens to be coming to Israel next week to perform. You know why? Because he's washed up. Come to Israel. I think we're going to get Michael Jackson's going to come soon. In any case, I am the eye in the sky looking at you, I can see you. I am the maker of rules dealing with fools. It's a powerful song, yeah. There we go. In any case, he's like, this is where the Yirei Elokim is coming from. Careful where you step. Careful what you offer. Careful what you say. And why should you be careful what you say, Pasuk Aleph? Al tevehel al picha v'lipcha al yimaher lo tzid avar lefnei Elokim. Don't speak quickly. Why? Why in the Pasuk Aleph? Ki Elokim ha-shamayim ve'ata al ha-aretz alkein yu dvarecha me'atim. Why should the fact that God is in the sky and I'm on the ground mean that I should have very few things to say? That's bad. What does it mean? He's in the sky. Yes. It's a different view, right? We call it bird's eye view. You guys are too young. I'm too young, right? Imagine what it was for people the first time images of the earth came back from outer space. Don't have any idea what it looks like. Of course, we're very small. We're very small. But number two, it changes everything, right? When you can see from there. And then before that, imagine the first time images came back from airplanes. Right? Out of space, Kalva Choymer. I remember when they started Google Maps. In the Google Maps, what is it called? Google Home, where they can, you zoom into the street, to your home, to the thing, you know, what's that called? Earth. Google Earth. Right? You know what I mean? Whoa! Right? Even though it's, delayed and whatever because of terrorism and, right, it's delayed, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? You don't see right now. You can't go out and go, hey, Google Earth. Okay, right? What does it mean, literally and figuratively, for someone to see the full picture versus to not see the full picture? When you realize that, what should it cause you to feel?
It's significant.
But just as far as your day are,
you don't know anything.
I know nothing, right? What do I understand? What do I understand? Now, human beings forever have always thought they knew more than they really know. And the interesting thing is you read thousands of years of philosophy and history that today we look back at and laugh because they didn't know what they were talking about, right? How do you look at the writings of people who put people in cherim because they dare claim the world was round? Chutzpah to claim the world was round. You look at it, it's just like, it's embarrassing, no? It's embarrassing. What's the moral of the story? Be careful what you say. You don't know as much as you think you know. Ki Elokim b'shamayim ve'ata ala aretz al ken yud v'recha me'atim. Should say very little. Ki b'ach halom b'rov inyan v'kol k'sil b'rov dvarim. People dream and say all kinds of things, and the fool says a lot of things. Who's it referring to? Why is he saying, be careful what you say? Where does this come from? You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, we get the message. How does it relate to what we're talking about here? Who's the fool he's referring to when he says, v'kol k'sil b'rov dvarim? Who?
Yeravam.
Well, Yeravam isn't being addressed here in the book, even though the experience Shlomo anticipates with him, you know, was what is mentioned. It's not a philosophy. You understand my point? But I think you're right, and let's think, how does it relate to what came before? Just think a little bit further. What? I think he's relating to the philosophers who just spoke, right? Some say, well, it's balanced for everything, and you know, we shouldn't do anything. And the socialism, we can do it. He's like, people, shh. Be careful about all the things you talk about. Because you don't know enough to realize what you're saying and what you're not saying.
Stressing the socialists.
What? I think everyone. The speakers who just thought they had solutions, right? Yes.
Is he shooting down the whole thought up until his point?
I think so, yeah. That's how Qohelet works throughout. I mean, he's shooting down people who think they know enough to have an opinion.
He's shooting down himself.
Well, we'll see what he says. We're going to see what he says in a second, right? And Hanan is like, well, he hasn't said anything yet, so you can't say he's shooting down himself. But this is a very important part. I'll give you an example. I still remember one of the first times the question and answer session in Shuvat HaKotel. One of the questions is, are there Shadim? I said, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I said, I don't know. He goes, I said, are there or aren't there? I said, who could possibly say there aren't? Who could say there aren't Shadim? How do we know? The Rambam didn't say that.
Well, he said
it was narrow. Whatever. Meaning, part of the problem is we assume whatever we don't know isn't there. Forgetting the issue of Shadim for a second. That's a pretty silly thing to think, no? Yes. That's how we are. To say I've never seen. To say I don't know. It's impossible. To say it's possible to say no. No, there aren't. Really? We made the things we believe. Is there a God? Yes. Is the Avodah Zarah correct? No. How do I know? That's in the Torah. But sometimes I know. How do I possibly know? That's our problem. We think we know. We want to think we know. And it gets better now in Pasuk Gimel. Kasher tidor neder le'elokim. When you make a neder, a vow, to God, al te'acher l'shamo, don't be late in paying it. Ki ein chefetz b'ksilim. God has no desire for fools. At Asher Tidor Shalem, he is a fool in Pasuk Gimel, like in Pasuk Bet. In fact, better than that, Pasuk Dalet, Tova Shelo Tidor Mishetador Velot Shalem. Better not to have made the commitment in the first place. Why is he so upset with Nedarim? Why does he not like Nedarim? Again, think in context. Why does he not like Nedarim?
Because you don't know. You're going to be able to do something.
Right, meaning, it's presumptuous to make a commitment. I'm going to finish service. Really? Let me talk about something less ambitious. I'll see you tomorrow. Is it a realistic thing to say, I'll see you tomorrow? Yeah. No.
Why?
Well, you may not be alive tomorrow. You may not feel well. I'll meet you tomorrow at the supermarket.
Is it awfully likely?
You're going to be feeling... It's true. It's awfully likely, right? But it still is presumptuous. And for sure, commitments, right? That's why you're supposed to say mitzvah. Now again, people say for religious reasons. That's why we don't like saying Yes Hashem. That makes sound frim. So not because of frim. It's because you're realistic. You don't like saying Yes Hashem. People chas Hashem think you're frum. I hope. I intend. I'll do my best. Now you could say, I'll do my best. If I don't wake up tomorrow, I've done nothing I can do, right? I hope to. I intend to. I'd like to. Those are all true, right? In fact, get ready for Pasuk Hey. Everyone buckle up. You ready to buckle up for Pasuk Hey? Al titain et picha lachatia pesarecha. Don't let your mouth cause you to sin. Now again, in context, how would your mouth cause you to sin?
You say, I'm going to do something.
Right? V'al tomar lefnei malach kishkagahi. And when you're brought to task by the malach, don't say that you didn't live up to it by mistake. Why shouldn't you say it was my mistake? Because it wasn't by mistake. Why wasn't it by mistake? You should have realized that it wasn't in your hands to guarantee it, right? Lama yiktsof elokim al kolecha v'chibel et ma'aseh yodecha. Why should God get angry at your voice and sabotage your efforts? There's a very profound statement here. One of the reasons God undermines people's efforts is because
he wants them to know that's in his hands.
Yeah, and just to connect it directly, because they were presumptuous in how they were speaking about what they were planning. That angers God. And you know, you can think about it, you can think about it in our own world too. When someone is presumptuous about something of yours, right? Let's say you have your shas, right? You like it very much. And someone's friend says, oh, sure, you can borrow this guy's shas. Yeah, you can take it out in the rain, no problem. Yeah, go for it. Bring back whatever you want. What's the first thing you're thinking? You want to say no. Why do you want to say no? Who's this guy? They've been doing my thing, man. Okay, with God, it's more than that. God, it's a responsibility that you shouldn't think it's yours. There's no need that you shouldn't think my shas is yours, right? But with God, it's very important. In fact, people can think for themselves. If you've ever had something you're working on, you have a project, you have a paper, you have a this, you have a that, and everything's going great, and you're all of a sudden monkey wrench out of nowhere. The computer dies and all your files are lost. You fill in the blank, right? That might have been the Geiger check. You know what I mean? That might have been the, you know, you brought it upon yourself. Very powerful pasuk. Okay, al titen et picha lachatiyat b'sarecha, v'al tomar lefnei amalach kishkagahi, lama yiktzof elokim al kolecha v'chibel et maaseh yodecha. The conclusion of the idea, but he hasn't said anything yet. But the conclusion of his objection, ki v'rov chalamot v'havalim u'dvarim harbe, people have all kinds of meaninglessness, all kinds of dreams. Ki at elokim yira. What does it come down to? Ki at elokim yira. The one thing we know is that we don't know. The one thing we know is that there's someone in charge. We're not in charge. We should fear. Now the question is, right, what does this mean? Tachlis. Okay, I shouldn't believe anything, shouldn't do anything, shouldn't be presented for anything. So what's my life about, right? Besides warning me, what's my life about? So let's see. Im oshek rosh v'gezel mishpat v'tzedek tirem dina. These words here, these five words, are different things that Kohelet has complained about up to this point. Remember the beginning of Perek Dalet, Ha'ashukim? Im Oshek, Rosh, people down in their luck. Gezel, remember Mishpat V'Tzedek in Perek Gimel, right? You see justice, lack of justice. You see things that are frustrating you in the world. Al titma alachefetz. Don't be bewildered by this. Ki gavoa me'al gavoa shomeru gvorim alehem. Because what's above the above is watching, and what's above and above and above. It's the same genre of the, you know, Kim Hashamayim V'Atal Haaretz. There are things above who are seeing, who are watching. Now the truth is, up to this point, as strange as it may sound, the Yirei Elokim sounds a lot like the hedonist. In what way?
Didn't do anything.
Right, meaning, we don't know, we can't know, we shouldn't do, we don't do, God, you know. You understand the point I'm making? So far. The reason I'm making this point is because we're going to highlight the difference right now. But this understanding of we don't know and God is in control and God knows and we shouldn't know, as opposed to the activism of the socialist. The difference now comes in Pasuk Chet. V'yitron eretz bakol hu melech l'saden evad. The first thing you notice about Pasuk Chet, how it's different than the rest of the book up to this point, is that the Yirei Elokim believes there is a Yitron. This is a deal breaker here. This is a the Yitron Eretz. There's a Yitron. What's the Yitron? So the formulation here is a little bit confused, but I think confusing. Obviously, it's not confused, but confusing to us. I think the beginning of unlocking it is taking note of a word here that appears for the first time in the Sefer, even though it's describing something that's been described many, many times in the book up to this point, just using a different word. What word does Kohelet use to describe work, effort? But up to this point, what did he use?
Amal.
Here he uses for the first time the word? Avodah. What's the difference between Amal and Avodah? For example, why is it not called Torah ve'amal?
Because we saw results.
I'm sorry?
Results.
The difference between Amal and Avodah is that Amal is work that seems for nothing. The effort without the result. By the way, in a positive way, Amal is Batorah. What does Amal is Batorah mean? Irrespective, the involvement. Ashrei mi she'amal Batorah. Not just what you get out of it, right? The involvement in it, right? But it can also be a negative if the person is trying to work to get something out of it and they feel they get nothing. That's what Kohelet is complaining about, the Amal. Avodah is where you get something out of it, right? Melech l'sadeh ne'avad. This really encapsulates the philosophy of the Yirat Elokim, the positive, like what does he say to do? There are two ways to look at work. One is the capitalistic way. Why do I work as a capitalist?
Well,
if I'm not going to work, I'm not going to get anything, right? Meaning, who do we believe, despite what it says in that dollar, who do we believe in?
Dollars.
In ourselves. Meaning, we're only going to get as far as our work takes us, right? And that's why people in a capitalist society work very hard, because it's up to me, right? The other extreme, let's say a socialist society or certain types of religious societies, it's not up to me. It's not up to me. So if it's not up to me, or what I get doesn't depend on my work, so how hard do I work?
That's hard.
Imagine two kind of people in a company. You have the boss, the president of the company. Oh, the president of the company, really cool. The president of the company works really hard. Why? He's responsible for it. How hard does the secretary work? Comes in the morning, punch the clock. She's there. Did she take it home with her? Does she worry about it at night? Does she come up with plans for the office? Does she answer emails at night? No, it's bullshit, right? You clock in, you clock out, done. Advantages, disadvantages, right? The belief of the Yirei Elokim here, and Judaism definitely along those lines, is that on the one hand, we don't determine the results. We do not determine the results. On the other hand, we have a responsibility to work. Melech l'sadeh ne'avad. We have a responsibility to work for the Melech. The Melech expects us to work. And that balance, that duality is critical. Not only to the Yirei Elokim in this book, but to understanding Judaism's outlook on work. On the one hand, to understand we do not determine the results, right? For the whole year, right? But we have a responsibility to work, right? We have a role. It's not the hedonism. The hedonist says, God's in charge, we enjoy whatever we can, right? The nafkamina is, the hedonist believes, I win the lottery, I'm done. The Yirei Elokim believes, I have to work. I'm in this world, I have a responsibility, that's why I'm here. But God's in control, God's in charge. And now he contrasts the two ways of looking at work and the results of work. Oev kesef lo yizba kesef. A person who works for money, loves money, will never be satisfied by no matter how much money he has. Umiyahev ba'amon lo tfuah gam zahava. The one who likes a lot will never have enough. Because birvota tova, the more good you have, rabu ochleha, the more consumers there are. Umakishron levi'alea ki imru te'enav. A person can only achieve as much as they can see, and there's always more that they see and they can't achieve, right? In contrast, Pasuk Yud Aleph, mitukash nata oved, sweet is the sleep of the worker. Im ma'at v'im harbe yochel, whether he has a little or a lot, he eats. Va'asava le'ashir, enenu maniach lelishon. But the plenty for the rich person, he can't sleep. Imagine if we really believed that our parnasa was set from Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippur. Imagine how well you could sleep the rest of the year, no? You wouldn't sleep from Rosh Hashanah, right? But you sleep the rest of the year, no problem. Who lives a better life? The person who believes it depends on God, or the person who believes it depends on themselves? And by the way, the pasuk here, im ma'at v'im harbe yochel, because he doesn't feel abandoned, he doesn't need more. He knows what he needs, he has what he has, he needs. Yeah.
Doesn't that advocate for a position of not doing anything because God said?
We didn't say not doing anything. We have responsibility to put in our effort. It's called in Yiddish Hishtavus, right? I mean, we have responsibility. It's not a schus. We have responsibility to work. The king expects us to put in our effort, but he determines what we get. Okay, tune in next week. When we rip the Yirei Elokim apart, that should bring people out to the ball game. Everyone's eager to see your religion ripped apart.